storm in its fury on Galilee fell, and lifted its waters on high, and the faithless disciples were bound in the spell. Jesus whispered, "Fear not, it is I, it is I, it is I. Fear not, trembling one, it is I." In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the gloom, fear not, trembling one, it is I. The storm could not bury that word in the wake, was called through the tempest to fly. It shall reach its design, both in every age, saying, "Be not afraid, it is I. It is I, it is I. Fear not, trembling one, it is I." In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the gloom, fear not, trembling one, it is I. When the spirit is broken with sorrow and care, and comfort is ready to die, then darkness shall pass, and the sunshine appear. By the life-giving word, it is I, it is I, it is I. Fear not, trembling one, it is I. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the gloom, fear not, trembling one, it is I. When death is at hand, and this cottage of clay is left with a tremulous sigh, the gracious Redeemer will light all the way, saying, "Be not afraid, it is I. It is I, it is I. Fear not, trembling one, it is I." In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the gloom, fear not, trembling one, it is I.
154.
Page 154, then the question.
Verse 10.
Children of the Heavenly King, as your journey sweetly sing, sing your Savior's worthy praise, glorious in His words and ways. We are traveling home to God,
37 has been requested. Page 37, verse 10.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that blood loose all their guilty stains.
We were
Page 9, first hymn.
We travel through a barren land with dangers thick on every hand, but Jesus guides us through the veil. The Christian's hope can
in spirit and in truth to worship him. And we pray that he would bless us in the presence of your spirit. The brethren that are behind me here, Brother Hogan, Brother Gene Hogan, you all are familiar with. We're glad to have him with us today. And Brother Eddie Fowler from Charlotte, North Carolina, the pastor's No Creek Church. We're so glad to have him visit with us today. I come this morning because indeed, feeling what I hope to feel, that God has blessed this wretched sinner to be among the remnant of God's people. What a wonderful blessing and indeed a joy it is to behold your faces. And as we come, my mind is carried back. Years have gone by, this old place has stood for over these many years, over 200 years. And I remember those old brethren that I had the privilege and joy of fellowship with, telling me of days when they came and walked great distances and stopped at the creek down and washed their feet and put their shoes on and then made their way over to the building. Times have changed, but we hope that the same doctrine of election and predestination and salvation by the grace of God is preached here and will continue to be preached, the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. As a way of continuing the service, I would ask you to turn to page 869. Page 69 and 169, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And in the second verse, it means so much to me. It says, "What grace that taught my heart to hear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Was grace that taught my heart to fear." And then it says, "And grace my fears relieved." What a joy. What a precious God we have this morning to deliver us out of nature's darkness into the marvelous light of his love. If you would stand and sing of that hymn.
Amazing grace, how sweet the I see.
Uplifting I think, a gospel message in the Old Testament in the book of Exodus, in chapter 15. It says there, it says in Exodus chapter 15, it says, then sang Moses. You know, Moses was a man, I think, called of God, and he delivered the children out of Israel. And it was a time here and there, in their wilderness and their traveling, that it says, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath thrown into the sea. There was a time, my dear friends, that the children of Israel had not a song to sing, you see. They were under the bondage of Egypt, and they were under the cruel and wicked, the power and the beatings, and just as, probably as wicked as we could imagine, they were under that subjection both day and night, and their families and their children. And then Moses called up God to go down to the children there in Egypt and tell them to get up and follow me out of the land. And you know, there were some doubtings there. And so God tells Moses that he's going to harden the heart of Pharaoh. And he's going to harden his heart that the children of Israel may see the very glory and power of God. And you know, I believe through those 10 plagues that they were able to see that power, a very power and demonstration of what God can do and does do for his children in their deliverance. And it says that, you know, upon that 10th plague, when the firstborn of every child in the land of Egypt shall be slain, it says, but, you know, those children of Egypt, the children of Israel, they were in that land of Egypt. And it says that there was blood put on the side posts and the doorposts. And it says the destroyer came by that night, the angel of destroyer, I believe it was. And it says he passed over those houses and came not in the houses when he saw the blood of the Lamb. And what a beautiful picture and type it is of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It says in the New Testament that Christ, our Passover, was slain for us. And on that night, there was a lamb that was slain for them that they might not be destroyed that night. Well, getting back to the story, it says that they were delivered out of Egypt. And it says, and Pharaoh was shooing them out. And I believe the people of Egypt were just ready to see him go. They were just giving them all that they asked for. They were giving them all the gold and all the silver and all the things that they might need in the wilderness in order to serve and praise God. And you know, they had gotten just about as far as they could go, and they ran into the sea. And maybe they were feeling comfortable, and I don't know. And it says that, you know, they heard Pharaoh change his mind once again. He said, I'm going to go back and get him and fetch him. And they were slaves for him. They built many things for that wicked Pharaoh. It says, and it came between, it says that Pharaoh had changed his mind. And he went and he was chasing those children again. Now notice, if we could possibly put ourselves in the place of those children of Israel, that they had left Egypt, and there they are in front of the Red Sea, and here comes behind them Pharaoh's army and his chariots and his mighty soldiers. You know, it's a picture of doom and gloom, isn't it? You know, when we put what man can do, it's a picture of doom and gloom. Because I think they had great confidence in that they could not go and fight them Egyptians and Pharaoh and all the wickedness that he had. They just couldn't do that. But you know, the Lord had another way of deliverance yet for them again. You know, isn't it wonderful that in every trial and in every tribulation in which we have, the Lord has a way for us that he can comfort our greatest sorrow. He can ease our greatest pain. You know, isn't it a blessing, whether it's been your case or you've had the opportunity and the blessing to visit someone that may be sick and on their very deathbed, close to their last breath, and you may visit with them. You know, they have such a peace and tranquil spirit about them. You almost wonder, you say, well, that just can't be natural. You know, friends, I don't believe that is natural. I believe that's supernatural. I believe it's the very power and the grace of God that he bestows upon us, even in our dying hour, even when we're up against a Red Sea, so to speak, that the very power of God can come and comfort that child. But it says here, and here they are. And you know, it says that those children of Israel, it says that, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. It says in the book of Numbers, you know, when that fire moved, the children moved. When that cloud moved, they moved. You know, they knew when to move and when to stay. By the sign of God, by his power. You know, notice that. You know, I'm sure that everyone here has seen a fire burning, you know it comes from something, but it says that there was a pillar of fire. There was nothing under that. That was just a pillar of fire. That's amazing power of God. You know, it says here that, that pillar of cloud came between Pharaoh and the delivered one. And you know, it says that pillar of cloud was so great that I believe Pharaoh, he couldn't tell where anything was. They were protected once again by God. But you see, it says that Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall shew you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever." You know, I like those words, forever. You know, sometimes we use those in our everyday language. And, you know, this might not happen to us forever. We go to the doctor, well, maybe I won't have that pain forever. But we can't say that, really, when it gets down to it. We don't know how long we might be free from that pain, or how long we might be free from that ailment, or how long something just won't bother us anymore. Have you ever been able to say with full confidence, "I'll be free from that forever"? But you know, the Lord spake to Moses, and Moses told the children that you're going to go, and you're going to pass through. You're going to see the power of God, and ye shall never see forever Pharaoh and his army. If they were just taking that in confidence, you know, they could have walked on. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." Now, you know, that's easy for us to see, and that's easy for us to read, and that's kind of easy for us to picture and imagine. But just think, if you've ever been to the coast, you're standing on the seashore at the Pacific or the Atlantic Ocean, and there's an army behind you, and there's a great river, there's a great ocean in front of you, and the Lord is telling Moses to say, "Ye shall go forward." You know, probably the first thing I'd be doing is looking around for the boat. We're looking around for the ship, because God says that we're going to be saved. Moses says, "Stand still, and ye shall see the salvation of the Lord." Well, where is it? Where is the boat? Where is whatever they traveled on, where is the sea vessel in which we are going to be saved? You see, that's what I would be looking for. But let me tell you, my friends, they had none of those. And yet there was still an ocean there. They were in a predicament. But you know what it says over there? My God. Family. Critics with me today. Enjoy the way I say that word, predicament. But can't you see that? That they were in that situation. But you know, it says over there in, I think it's 2 Samuel 14:14, it says that, "For we all must needs die." But it says that God has a plan of salvation. That God has a plan. You know that there's always been a plan of salvation, and there was yet a plan of salvation for those children of Israel. Who would have imagined what would happen next? I mean, if you could write a fairy tale, I mean, if you would look at that and say, "Well, that's a nice fairy tale," but this isn't a fairy tale. Moses was inspired by God to tell the children of Israel to stand still, and you're going to see the very power of God. Have you ever witnessed the power of God? My friends, I believe today if we're able to rejoice in the gospel, if the Lord has blessed you to hear the gospel, you've witnessed the power of God. If I have ever been able to preach the gospel, I have been empowered by the very power of God. Because you can't preach the gospel without the power of God and the moving of the Holy Spirit. And you can't hear the gospel without the moving and the power of God in you. Don't you believe that? It takes the... You know, it says over there, you know, in the book of Acts, when Peter, I believe it was, he goes and he heals up this man, I think a lame man to walk, and they start giving all the praises to Peter. Peter just stops him and says, "You know, don't look at me like it was something that I have done. I was only able to heal because the power of God moved me to heal me." You know, when the Sadducees over there, when Jesus was discussing with them, and you know, looking back now with the little information, we know how great Jesus was and how perfect he was and how God he is and was when he walked this earth. They were trying to trick him up in a little conversation. You know, that's amusing, isn't it? They were trying to trick him up. And you know, they were talking about, I believe, seven brothers, and they had married this wife, and they wanted to know whose husband she would be in heaven. And you know what Jesus told to them? He says, you know, in the scriptures, he said, "You do err, not knowing the scriptures or the power of God." Those Sadducees, and I would doubt those Pharisees as well. And you know, there's many of few nicknames to him. Lick Fork. I didn't know. I had no idea what the name came up. We were at the table in my... You can get on me later, baby, because, you know, she's... If you don't want me to say something, whatever you say, you might not want to say it, or you might want to say, don't ever say this or something. But she didn't say that. She said, Lick Fork. They must have had good food. Must have had good food, but Brother Howe, he done schooled me on that. And that makes sense to me. I said, well, maybe so. Maybe so. But Brother Howe, he kind of schooled me on the naming and the history of this place. But, you know, here they were at this place, at this crossroads, seeing, there they were, the great army of Pharaoh and his chariots of iron. Who do you think? No, I've been thinking on this lately, and I used to have it in first. I was kind of waiting on faith. You know, David and Goliath, I used to think David was an underdog. You know what an underdog is? One that's supposed to lose. You know, you see, if you ever follow any kind of sporting activities, you know, this one team's never been beaten in 20 years, and this one team comes up, and they're brand new, and they say, they're the underdogs. And you can bet, if you was a betting person, you'd always bet against the underdog, probably. Because they're very unlikely to win. You see, I used to think David was an underdog. I used to think right here, these children of Israel that had been delivered standing at the Red Sea with nowhere to go, and the wickedness behind them, I used to think they were the underdog. They're not the underdog. You know why they're not the underdog? Because God is with them, and they have God's power on their side. It says over there, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? If God be for you, my brother, who shall be against you? You know, that's how it is with these brothers and sisters here, getting ready to stand at the scene. You know, the Lord, he don't give it all to you one time. He didn't just say, all right, everybody, wait, I'm going to open up the sea for you. He said, wait, and you're going to see the very salvation of God. Enjoy the peace. You know, that would drive my heart and soul and my body to sit there and just say, I know God's going to deliver me. I know God's going to deliver me. I'll be looking around to get up a stone to throw against some kind of soldier that's coming against me. That's not what they were instructed to do. They were instructed to look ahead. You know, that's kind of like Paul said, I look to the prize. I look to the mark for the prize of the high calling. And they were looking ahead. And you know what they saw? I believe it's something they had never seen before. I'd have never thought about this if I wouldn't have read it in the Bible. You remember one time Joshua had a fight? He had a battle going on? I would have never thought about praying to God about this. I would have just thought it was a helpless cause. You know what Joshua prayed? He said, God, hold the sun still for just a little while. Would you have ever thought about that? I can't say that I would. But you see the very power of God? We see the power. You know, that shouldn't. I mean, that is amazing and that is miraculous, but that shouldn't really send so much amazement through our bodies when we realize that God created that sun, that he called that sun into being, that he spoke it into existence. It says the heavens declare his handiwork of God. The heavens declare the handiwork of God. Isn't that amazing? And you know, the Lord heard the prayer coming up from Joshua, and he extended the day. Now, what a God we have. What a God we have. The very power of God. Oh, that we may feel it every day of our life. It says over there, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. You know, when it says they went to preach over there, blessed brethren, knowing, blessed brethren, your election of God, that this gospel came not in word only, but in what? Power and demonstration. Isn't that amazing? You see, God wants us to feel the power. God wants us to have his power. And you know, we need the power. The brother was praying or speaking how the wickedness of this world just is throwing darts at us every minute, every second that it can. You know, the devil is the prince of the power of this air. And he's looking to come between you and your fellowship with your God. At every chance, I believe. It says that he's going to and fro. You know what that tells me? He's not over there sitting down taking a nap somewhere. The devil's going to and fro. It says he's as subtle as a serpent, and he's as roaring as a lion. I believe whatever.